I am pleased to be able to speak and share with you my thoughts about the current global crisis. A crisis that we can consider to have begun with the pandemic emergency, but that we know has been planned for decades with the very specific purposes by well-known personalities. Stopping at the pandemic alone would in fact be a serious mistake, because it would not allow us to consider the events in their full coherence and interconnectedness, thus preventing us from understanding them and, above all, from identifying the criminal intention behind them. You too, each with your own expertise in medical, scientific, legal, or other fields, will agree with me that limiting yourself to your own discipline, which in some cases is extremely specific, does not fully explain the rationale for certain choices that have been made by government, international bodies, and pharmaceutical agencies. For example, finding graphene-like material in the blood of people who have been inoculated with experimental serums make no sense for a virologist, but it does make sense for an expert in nanomaterials and in nanotechnologies who understand what graphene can be used for. It also makes sense for an expert in medical patents who immediately identifies the content of the invention and relates it to other similar patents. It is also makes sense for an expert in world technologies who knows about studies on the enhanced man, a document the British Ministry of Defense called him augmented man in transhumanistic term, and is therefore able to recognize in graphene nanostructure the technology that enable the augmentation of the war performance of military personnel. And a telemedicine expert will be able to recognize in those nanostructure the indispensable device that sends biomedical parameters to the patient control server and also receive certain signals from it. Once again, the assessment of events that from a medical point of view should take into account the legal implication of certain choices, such as the imposition of masks or even worse, mass vaccination made in violation of the fundamental rights of citizens. And I am sure that in the field of health governance, the manipulation of the classification codes of disease and therapies will also emerge, which has been designed to make the harmful effects of measures taken against COVID-19 untraceable, from placing people on respirators in intensive care and watchful waiting protocols. To say nothing of the scandalous violation of the regulation by the European Commission, which, as you know, has no delegation from the European Parliament in the field of health, and that is not a public institution, but rather a private business consortium. Just in the past few days, at the G20 summit, Klaus Schwab instructed heads of government, almost all coming from the Young Global Leader from Tomorrow program of the World Economic Forum, about the future steps to be taken in view of establishing a world government. The president of a very powerful private organization with enormous economic means, exercises undue power over world government, obtaining their obedience from political leaders who have no popular mandate to subject their nations to the delusion of power of the elite. This fact is of unprecedented gravity. Klaus Schwab said, I quote, "In the fourth industrial revolution, the winners will take it all. So if you are a World Economic Forum first mover, you are the winners," end quote. These very serious statements have two implications. The first is that the winners will take it all and will be winners. It is not clear in what capacity or with whose permission. The second is that those who do not adapt to this fourth industrial revolution will find themselves ousted and will lose. They will lose everything, including their freedom. In short, Klaus Schwab is threatening the head of government of the 20 most industrialized nations in the world to carry out the programmatic points of the Great Reset in their nation. This goes far beyond the pandemic. It is a global coup d'etat against which it is essential that people rise up and that the still healthy organ of state start an international juridical process. The threat is imminent and serious. Since the World Economic Forum is capable of carrying out its subversive project, and those who govern nations have all become either enslaved or blackmailed by this international mafia. In the light of these statements, and those of others no less delusional than Yuval Noah Harari, Schwab's advisor, we understand how the pandemic first served as a trial balloon for imposing controls, coercive measures, curtailing individual freedoms, and increasing unemployment and poverty. The new step will have to be carried out by means of economic and energy crisis, which are instrumental to the establishment of a synarchic government in the hands of the global elite. And here, dear friends, allow me to speak as a bishop, because in this series of events that we are witnessing, and we continue to witness, your commitment could risk being thwarted and limited by the fact of not being able to see its essential spiritual nature. I know that 2 centuries of enlightenment thought, revolution, atheistic materialism, and anti-clerical liberalism have accustomed us to thinking of faith as a personal matter, or that there is no an objective truth to which we all must conform. But this is the fruit of propedeutic indoctrination, one that happened long before what is happening today. And it would be foolish to believe that the anti-Christian ideology that drove the secret sect of Masonic groups of the 18th century had nothing to do with the anti-Christian ideology that today drives people like Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and Bill Gates. The driving principles are the same: rebellion against God, hatred for church and humanity, and destructive fury aimed against creation and especially against man, because the man has been created in the image and likeness of God. If you start from this evidence, you will understand that it is not possible to pretend that what is happening before our eyes is solely the result of profit seeking or the desire for power. Certainly, the economic part cannot be disregarded, considering how many people have collaborated with the World Economic Forum. And yet, beyond profit, there are unstated purposes that stem from a theological vision, and that is turned upside down. Beyond profit, there are unstated purposes that stem from a theological vision, one that is turned upside down, it is true, but still theological. A vision that sees two opposing sides, the side of Christ and the side of the Antichrist. There can be no neutrality, because when there is a clash between two armies, those who choose not to fight are also making a choice that affects the outcome of the battle. On the other hand, how is it possible to recognize in your noble and high profession the admirable order that the Creator has placed in nature, from the constellation of stars to the particles of atom, and then deny that man is also part of this order, which is moral sense, his laws, his culture, and his discoveries? How can man, who is God's creature, presume to not be subject himself to eternal and perfect law? Our battle, as wrote St. Paul the Apostle, is not against creatures made of flesh and blood, but against the principality and powers, against the rulers of this world of darkness, against the spirits of evil that dwells in the heavenly places. On one hand, there is the city of God, the one St. Augustine writes about, and on the other hand, there is the city of the devil. We can say that in this era, the city of the devil is clearly identifiable in the neo-Malthusian globalism, the New World Order, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the European Union, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and in all those so-called philanthropic foundations that follow an ideology of death, disease, destruction, and tyranny. And also those in those forces that have infiltrated the institution which we call the deep state and the deep church. On the other front, we must recognize that the city of God is more difficult to identify. Even the religious authority appear to have betrayed their role of giving guidance to the faithful, preferring to serve power and propagate their lies. The very people who ought to be protecting and sanctifying soul are scattering and scandalizing them, calling good Christian rigid fundamentalists. As you can see, the attack is on several fronts, and thus it is a mortal threat for humanity, striking at both the body and the soul. And yet, precisely at the time when it is difficult to find an authoritative point of reference, both in the religious sphere as well in the temporal one, we see an ever-increasing number of those who are understanding, opening their eyes, and recognize the criminal mind behind the evolution of the events. It is now clear that everything is linked together, without having to dismiss those who say so as conspiracy theorists. The conspiracy is already there. We are not inventing it. We are simply denouncing it, hoping that people wake up from this suicidal narcosis and demand that someone put an end to the global coup. The operation of social engineering and mass manipulation have demonstrated beyond any doubt that this crime was premeditated. And how is this consistent with a spiritual vision of the conflict that is now unfolding? It is necessary to take side and fight without giving in. The truth, which is an attribute of God, cannot be cancelled by error, and life cannot be defeated by death. Remember that the Lord who has said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," has already defeated Satan, and what remains of the battle serves only to give us the opportunity to make the right choice, to choose to do those actions which place us under the banner of Christ on the side of good. I trust that this great work you are undertaking will soon bear its expected fruits, putting an end to a time of trial in which we see our world will become if we do not turn to Christ, if we continue to think that we can coexist with evil, lying, and self-worship. After all, the city of God is the model of those who live in the God's love, self-control, and contempt for the world. The city of the devil is the model of those who live in the self-love, conforming to the world and despising God. I thank you all for the attention that you have given to me. May God bless you all.
Thank you, Your Excellency, on behalf of the group, for guiding us with the truth and with a steady hand in this war. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Archbishop. So I am the moderator of this group, Archbishop, and we understand that we understand the pressures upon you in speaking truth. And you have been a light. The number of people attending and listening to your voice, Archbishop, is almost 150. That is as many as we get, and your message will be heard by many others because of the record. We have recorded this and we will share this so that many more can hear your message. Now, we understand if you have to go, and my question to you, Archbishop, is we understand that you're not available for questions now, but we're most happy to listen to any other thoughts that you have, or if you must go, we understand as well.
Thank you. Your Excellency. I think I leave now. I'm very much grateful for the attention and for having been able to spread much more beyond having recorded my message. Thank you to all. May God bless you. Thank you.
Your Excellency, there are one or two people in the chat, at least one, asking whether you could possibly, let me just read it, asking for a prayer and a blessing. I don't know whether you're able to do that.
Yes, I think I can say the Our Father, the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but lead us to heaven. May the Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Bye-bye.
We're very grateful to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, Paul, good to see you.
Yeah, nobody can make it clearer than the bishop of what's happening in the global coup, as he calls it. He connected all the dots, Charles. He connected all the dots very succinctly and very specifically of what's happening.
Excellent, Paul.
He did. And can I suggest, everybody, the thoughts that you have, if you put them into the chat for everybody, just as we're talking, and we will share the whole chat for the whole meeting with the Archbishop and all of your thoughts, comments, prayers for him, and suggestions and observations. And he will certainly, Stephen will certainly organize for him to get the chat.
And yes, Paul, and well, also, Paul, Charles, well, people can put the questions that they would have liked to ask him in the chat. I think the problem is with live questions, and I can understand it for someone in his position. So if you put questions in the chat, we can deliver them to the Archbishop, and he may choose to answer you personally.
And then the other issue is that the questions that previously been asked, Stephen forwarded them to him, so we only had him for 20 minutes. Now, Stephen...